What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed, and thank you so much for all of you that have been writing in. Today we're going to talk about something you've written in about, and I've received a couple of asks to talk about the conscience. And there's multiple aspects to the conscience. How do you deal with a weak conscience, one that's very sensitive and it's easily offended or convicted? We're going to talk a little bit about those that maybe need to strengthen their conscience a little bit, in the sense of nothing offends you and you probably should be offended or convicted a little bit more than what you are. So I appreciate you guys prompting me to think this through. And this is something that I have seen in counseling as well. Most of the time, as I'll share in the next segment, most of the time it's from those that come from a very conservative Christian background, where the conscience is just pricked by everything. You sneeze wrong and you have to confess that before the Lord for not sneezing in a proper way. That you hear a country music song playing in the restaurant next to you and you feel convicted by that. And so I do want to talk about what happens when we have too sensitive of a conscience in this episode. And then in our next episode, what about too calloused? You should have a conscience that's a little bit more sensitive than it is. So too sensitive of a conscience. Are tattoos sinful? Ooh, maybe I'm dating myself with some of these questions. You're like, no. Is drinking a sin? Ooh, that's a dicey one. Is it wrong to drink alcohol? And I'm not talking about being inebriated, just to drink alcohol at all. Is it wrong to watch R-rated movies? And however you answer those questions, as convicted as you may be, those are a result of you doing the work of developing a conviction that is an expression of your conscience. And if you say, yes, tattoos are sinful, repent of spider web tattoos, well, then I would just say, where is that in the Bible? Because I love spider web tattoos. No, I'm just kidding. I don't love them. But if you have one, I'm sure it looks great on you. Is drinking a sin? If you say absolutely yes, it is, then I would just say, okay, tell me where that is in the Bible. Or same with going to watch an R-rated action movie. So before you jump to a biblical conclusion, what you'll see is that according to the Bible, God has given us a faculty that is part of your inner person. And I want to look up a couple of these passages. So if you have your Bibles with you, you'll hear me fiddling with my Bible here. Go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 2, and we'll start there. The conscience is a faculty. It's a capacity that you have been entrusted with. So it's not part of your outer man. There's nothing to suggest that your conscience is embedded in your skin or your bones or an organ within your body, but rather that God has given every person a conscience. And that conscience looks something like this. So this is from Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. Okay, that's important to note, that those that are unbelievers are keeping the law because they have the law of God written on their hearts. And Paul uses the term conscience here. And conscience is a faculty, it's a capacity. It's intended to represent a moral faculty of evaluation of right and wrong, of good and evil. And that definition does come from biblical doctrine. So when you're thinking about a capacity, we don't want to just say like you have self-awareness and so you have consciousness. A consciousness is more along the lines of you're aware that you exist or you think about yourself. That's consciousness, which is a little bit different from conscience. Or we would also want to be careful not to confuse this with being conscientious. You know, hey, thanks for not littering. You picked up the trash and threw it away. Way to go. You're conscientious. No, that's not necessarily the faculty of moral evaluation. So the faculty of moral evaluation, that is your conscience. And you're going to see different instances in Scripture where it's spoken of maybe very matter-of-factly. So Paul appeals to his own conscience This is Romans 9, verse 1. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. You can trust that Paul's not lying in part because his conscience is testifying to the truth here. And then he goes on to say that he wishes that he could be accursed for the sake of his ethnic, national, Jewish brothers being restored. You'll see that there are corrupt and defiled consciences in Titus 1:15. A corrupt conscience means that it's broken. Now, you've heard perhaps even the term a seared conscience. You sear your conscience by continuously sinning against it. So it's like the, if you've ever heard this analogy of your conscience, it's like the little light on your, the light, I don't know why I said it like that, on your dash that's blinking. So if you ignore that light enough, then you don't even notice it anymore. So what happens is if you ignore your conscience enough, then you sin against your conscience, and before long you sear it. It's desensitized. So a searing of the conscience is representative of a person who has sinned against their conscience so much that things just don't even bother them anymore. I mean, this is the hardened criminal that justifies flagrant sinful actions. That is a person who has seared their conscience. They don't feel it anymore. So I would say, all right, big picture, what's a helpful way to conceptualize the conscience? It's like a moral compass. Have you ever used the compass? Where's your inner Boy Scout? Do you have an inner Boy Scout or Girl Scout? I had to learn land navigation when I was in the Army. And one of the things that was true is that if your compass was broken, if the little air bubble that's intended to keep things afloat within the compass, if that's messed up, it's cracked, then you actually can't find your way. So your conscience is a moral faculty. It helps dictate and direct you in decisions of right versus wrong. And part of why even unbelievers are not as sinful as they could be, meaning they don't do as bad of things as they could, is because they have a conscience. And even an unbeliever can sense evil and know that there is something that is wrong. So that is because you have the gift of a conscience. So a couple of thoughts here about the way that convictions should develop, which feeds into the sensitive conscience. So God gives us his word, and the Bible is intended to inform your conscience. So in Romans 2, you saw the idea of accuse or excuse, meaning accuse you like, yes, you did do something wrong, or excuse you that, no, that is not wrong. But the Bible is more authoritative than your conscience, meaning God's word should inform your conscience. And some of you, you have functionally let your conscience be the authority. Whatever you sense is wrong, you haven't necessarily governed that or subordinated that back to the scripture. And so you have to be able to see, is the Bible more authoritative than my conscience? Absolutely, yes. And praise the Lord, that's true. We'll be hypochondriacs if we don't have a governing authority for our conscience. Some of us will have too loose of convictions, and some of us will have too many of them. So God gives his word. Biblical truth governs our conscience. It informs it. And then when we have a biblically informed conscience, we develop biblical convictions. A biblical conviction is one that is recognizing what God says in his word, and then our convictions match the word of God. So some of you are thinking about, well, what about the tattoos? What about R-rated movies? Is drinking inherently sinful? Well, I do want to add a category for you at convictions. And convictions, you've heard the term Christian liberties. And Christian liberties typically go back to those things of tattoos and types of media and tobacco or whatever it is. If you've never read about Charles Spurgeon and him smoking cigars, he's used as like this iconic example of a man who would not bow due to legalism. And he did enjoy a cigar every now and then, and he is known for that. In fact, I've been to a seminary in Kansas City that has one of his cigars encased in his library. It's pretty fascinating. So when you think about liberties, a liberty is where it's more like a gray matter or a gray area of scripture. The Bible doesn't say that's right or wrong, so you cannot be emphatic about that. That's where Spurgeon was coming down on the matter. He said, look, you guys are being legalistic to say that I can't smoke cigars. So back off. The Bible doesn't say that. You shouldn't say that. So when it comes to a conviction, when it relates to things like liberties, you do have to be wise that if the Bible doesn't say it's wrong, then you cannot emphatically tell another believer that it's wrong for them to do that. That's a Christian liberty. And if you're going to do that, you're beginning to be legalistic. And it comes out in things like this. Hey, you need to wear a tie like I wear a tie. You need to wear business casual. And I know it's 2,000 degrees outside, but business casual. Hey, no long hair, you hippie. Cut your hair. So when you think about that type of Christianity, it starts to take its preferences and say, you have to do this as well in order for you to be spiritually mature. But that's a Christian liberty issue. So what's the difference between Christian liberty and what's the difference between a conviction? You're not transposing it on someone else. You can hold your own convictions, but you're not forcing someone else to live by your convictions. In fact, Paul is going to say in 1 Corinthians 10 that our liberties are not governed by other people's convictions. That's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 29. So what is the conscience? It's that moral faculty. It's a moral compass. You can sin against it. You can sear it. You can damage it. And your conscience is not the authority. So you should be able in some way to say, my conscience is a faculty God has entrusted to me, but it's still to be governed by the word of God. And biblical truth, the Bible, is the boss. And if I believe this thing to be wrong, and the Bible does not say that, then I need to be willing to hold that as a personal conviction, not as a mandate for others to live up to. That is me growing in spiritual maturity. I can still say Romans 14:23 that I'm not doing this from a heart of faith. It would be a sin. And I'm not encouraging you to sin against your conscience. But what I am saying is that if the Bible doesn't say it's wrong, then this is not wrong for everybody to do. So this is a conviction and a personal conscience issue. All right, I need to stop. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, let's get directly to those that have too sensitive of a conscience. Let's be right back.
All righty. Before we get back to Dr. Gifford, I want to take a moment to share some resources that I think will be very helpful for you. If you've been struggling with temptation in your life, let me recommend an excellent resource that we have available in the Transform store. It's called Understanding Temptation by Mark Shaw. In the booklet, he examines how Jesus himself confronted Satan's temptations, and he shows us practical strategies for overcoming our own specific sinful tendencies. It's concise, but it is a powerful resource. You can pick it up right now from the Transform store at transformed.org. It is Understanding Temptation by Mark Shaw. And now let me switch gears for just a minute, because I want to share something with you that obviously is near and dear to my heart and near and dear to the hearts of everyone who works in this ministry. And that's you, our listeners. Transformed and all of our other resources like Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, Breaking Bread, none of those would be possible without you. I mean, we pour our lives into these resources every single day because we have a deep desire to see lives changed by God's Word. But we couldn't do it without you and your deep desire to also see lives changed. If you have not joined us as a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider doing that? And only if you're already giving to your local church and you're not strapped by any kind of debt. If you're in a position to partner with us financially, we would be so very grateful. You can find out more right now at transformed.org. Oh, and also let me say this. Maybe you've been listening to Transform for a while and you think, man, I really do think we need biblical counseling in my local church. Well, first of all, let me say you're absolutely right. You do need biblical counseling in your local church, and you might be the one to provide the biblical counseling. If you've been thinking, hey, I want to do more than just consume this content, I'd like to be equipped to help counsel others. Well, friend, we've got you covered, because in the Transform store as well are phenomenal resources that help you get on the pathway to becoming a biblical counselor. One in particular, you hear us talk about it here quite a bit. It's Ken Sandy's The Peacemaker, which lays out a comprehensive approach to biblical conflict resolution. You can find out more right now at transformed.org. All right, well, that's going to do it for me. We've got to get back now to learning more about the conscience from Dr. Greg Gifford as we continue the second half of this week's episode. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
All right, welcome back. We have been talking through the conscience, and it's not conscientious. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you are conscious, like self-aware or consciousness. We're talking about that faculty that God has entrusted to you. So if you have too sensitive of a conscience, let me guess some of your background. Are you ready? This is like the carnival game. I would guess that you come from a conservative Christian background if you have a very sensitive conscience. Well, what does that mean practically? Well, do you have a background where it was wrong for guys to have long hair and girls couldn't wear jeans? Do you come from a background where going to the movies was seen as worldly dancing is a sin? Do you come from a background where you remember the pastor preaching against drinking alcohol in any form? Do you come from that background? And if you do, most likely you're going to have a conscience that is overly sensitive. And this may be a moment of like, you just realized who you are. Like, I'm not trying to expose you to something. I just want to say, look, hey, notice that if you come from a conservative Christian background, oftentimes those are the folks in counseling that have the most sensitive conscience. In fact, and I love my Bob Jones friends. There was a Clearwater Christian College down in Florida, Pensacola Christian College, but some of my conservative Christian schools, those I have found were the counselees that had the most significant struggles with their conscience, because you're battling what you're hearing be taught with what the scripture actually teaches. So most likely that's a background that you have, or you have seen that Christian liberty or that thing be used wrongly. So it's totally fair. If you saw someone abuse alcohol, why, you might say, no way, no way a Christian could use alcohol and that be honoring to the Lord. And why are you saying that? Because you saw that used in its an extreme form. Or you think of an R-rated movie as every R-rated movie being explicit. And then you begin to think like, of course that's wrong. How could you ever go to an R-rated movie? And it's because you're associating that with the wrong use of that thing. One last category that you might be is just a new Christian. And a new Christian is often wondering, like, how could you dance and that not be explicitly wrong? How could you dance at a wedding and not be in sin? And then you have to think like, okay, I get it. You're a new believer and you have to work through how you saw dancing before you were a Christian. So if those are you, just know that this is most likely why you have a sensitive conscience, or that that's where some of your sensitivities in your conscience come from. So what do you do? What do you do? Number one, remember what I said in the last segment, the Bible is the boss. Ooh, we should make a bumper sticker out of that. Da Bible, da boss. Ask the Bible if that thing you are thinking about is explicitly condemned. What does the Bible say about R-rated movies? What does the Bible say about guys wearing earrings and tattoos? What does the Bible say about those things? And if the Bible does not explicitly condemn it, then we know that this is not a black and white issue of obedience and disobedience. Most likely, this is an issue of conviction or Christian liberty. So if the Bible hasn't condemned it, you need to be very, 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 no, okay, I'll stop. You need to be just very cautious that you don't become legalistic and saying, oh yes, I know the Bible doesn't say it, but here's the 11th commandment of the Old Testament. So if it's not a black and white issue of the text, number two, don't force others to do what you think they should be doing. Keep it as a personal conviction. It's totally appropriate if you say, you know what, I don't personally want to watch that type of film, but if you guys want to do that and that doesn't mess with you, hey, I'm not going to judge you inwardly. That comes from 1 Corinthians 10:29, where our liberties are not dictated by someone else's conscience. So think that through carefully. When we're talking about your liberties, don't transpose your liberties and your convictions onto someone else. If someone else says, yeah, totally, I could get a spiderweb tattoo on my neck, we say, go for it. I couldn't do that before the Lord, but more power to you to be able to do that. What are you doing in this process with a sensitive conscience? You're learning to retrain your conscience to God's word. You're informing your convictions with God's word. So if your convictions are based off of the scripture, then that means that you really are convicted by what the scripture is convicted by, and that you're not developing strong convictions outside of that. Let me give you an example. Music preferences in the church. Ooh, do you want a guitar? Well, some of you love yourself some fog machines and an acoustic guitar. You want like a raspy voice. And Jesus, take the wheel. Hey, more power to you guys. And then there's another group that they love kind of like an opera style. There's an organ, God's a Mighty Fortress. And that is the way that you really enjoy worshiping on a Sunday at church. More power to you as well. But we're not developing a conviction based off of musical preferences. We're just saying that's my opinion or a preference, but I'm not developing a conviction on that. When you are letting God's word inform your convictions, what will happen is you'll have less convictions, meaning you're hunkering down into the Bible. You're not developing a conviction on every little thing like an organ or an acoustic guitar on a Sunday morning. So only when, if you have a sensitive conscience, only when you've retrained your conscience to the word of God, only when you can say it's not a sin for me to do this, should you take that step in doing it. So if you're saying, hey, you know what? I grew up thinking R-rated movies were wrong all the time. So I've just always struggled with thinking about going to a R-rated movie. Okay. You shouldn't go to an R-rated movie until you've renewed your mind with the truth of Scripture and can say, you know what? It would not be a sin for me to go to an R-rated movie. I can go watch an action movie. I can go watch a war movie. And that is not a sin for me to go do that. Only when you can say that should you go do that. So not in sinning against your conscience, but in recognizing that you are willing to go only when you recognize it's not a sin against your conscience. That's when you, as a sensitive conscience individual, that's when you should act on that. So I grew up in an environment where long hair for guys, earrings for guys, I had to wear a tie to class. I had to wear business casual to class. Those were all seen as being godly and not worldly. And of course, tattoos were seen as being sinful. So this is mid-2000s in undergraduate. And when I graduated from undergraduate college, I know you guys are going to gasp when I say this, I got a tattoo. Bum, bum, bum. What was it, you may ask? I'll never tell you. Okay, fine, I'll tell you. It's actually a scripture verse, Psalm 115, verses 1 through 3. And in my undergraduate, it was part of me saying, you know what? I don't think tattoos are always sinful. You could obviously get something that would be sinful, but I think you can get a tattoo to the glory of God. So in between my undergraduate and me leaving for basic training, after I had graduated, I went and got a tattoo of Scripture. And in thinking this through, that was me retraining my conscience back to the Word of God. And so for me personally, that is not an issue to have a tattoo. Some of you have tattoos as you're thinking this through. Why can you do something like that? Because when you go to the Bible does not explicitly condemn having a tattoo, for instance. So over time, don't compromise your convictions, rather renegotiate them according to God's word. And if God's word doesn't say it's absolutely wrong, then you're not going to be dogmatic on that thing if you have a sensitive conscience. And notice that I would like to give you a category for preformed convictions versus I don't want to do it and I'll call it a conviction. Oh, I was surprised during COVID how many people had a conviction that they can't wear a 4x4 piece of cloth over their face. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing that you had that conviction and you can't do that. Sometimes we need to say, if I don't have a preformed conviction on the matter, then I'm not going to develop one simply because I don't like this, and then call it a biblical conviction. Guys, I hated wearing a mask as well, but it was not a sin against my conscience for me to wear a mask going to Home Depot. So when you're thinking that through, make sure you have a category for, I really don't like it and it's not my preference, versus no, this is a biblically informed conviction that I'm acting on. Because if you just don't like it, you might need to die to yourself and do that thing anyways, as opposed to saying, I cannot do this because of a conviction that I have. If you have a sensitive conscience, one of my final observations, and I have one more after this, is that you will be tempted to be judgmental. So Romans 14:13 actually says, don't judge one another. What an interesting thought. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. If you have a sensitive conscience, don't give in to judgmentalism, which believes that everyone else is a compromiser. They're all worldly. Can you believe how long his hair is? Can you believe that music he listens to? Is that a spider web tattoo? If that's you, then just recognize that you are the one with the sensitive conscience, and you need to be very careful to mature your conscience in God's word and not give in to judgmentalism. And last thought for you, and I'll leave you guys alone for today. If you have a sensitive conscience, that is not a sign of spiritual maturity, but a sign of immaturity. If every little thing pricks your conscience, then what you have to do is go hard or lean in on informing your conscience with God's word. The spiritually mature person can say something like this, hey, I don't want to do that. That's not what I would do. But if you want to do that and it's not breaking God's word, that's totally up to you. That's what a spiritually mature person can say. It doesn't prick their conscience. They're not offended. They don't feel guilty by that. They have hunkered down into the text of Scripture and been able to say, no, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. So I'm not going to transpose my conviction onto you. So if you have too many convictions, then I would say you're probably leaning towards spiritually immature versus spiritually mature. So ground yourself back in the text of Scripture and then be willing to say, look, if the Bible doesn't take a strong stance on it, then neither am I. It's an opinion or a preference, but I'm very hesitant to make it a conviction. So you guys are more than welcome to write in. And when you're writing in emails, I would encourage you be succinct. The more direct you can be with your questions, it helps me understand what you're getting at. And then I can respond in a way that is timely. So thank you for listening today. Let me end with some prayer here. Lord, there are many that are trapped in a sensitive conscience, and every little thing pricks their conscience. And it's hard for them not to look at other Christians and think, what in the world? How are they living and honoring Jesus? Lord, would you take your authoritative word and soften the consciences of those that have not taken it to their convictions? May those with sensitive consciences be set free in Christ and actually get to experience the joy and the liberty that comes with being in Christ and knowing our righteousness is not our own, but it's Christ's. Use your word to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.